The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Have you ever heard the phrase, no holiness, no heaven? Well, that's what we're talking about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently in a series called No Holiness, No Heaven. And today we're going to discuss John 3:16 and how that relates to assurance, among some other interesting things. Leading our discussion is Dr. Bob Wilkin with Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to the show. My name's Sean.
Hey, Sean. My name's Bob.
Hey, Bob. Nice to meet you. Hey, we'd love to know who you guys are. The way you get on our database is subscribe to our free magazine, Grace in Focus, which you can get to at faithalone.org, buy a book, register for a conference. And then we can keep you updated on events and flash sales and new books and new speaking engagements and new conferences. So go to faithalone.org and do something for free. You can just download one of our free ebooks so that we at least have you as a contact.
And by the way, we used to have over 10,000 getting our magazine, but recently a number of people dropped off because they had no activity over the course of about 8 years.
Right.
We are sending a letter and inviting those people, hey, if you had no activity but you're still reading our magazine, let us know. We'll keep you on. But right now, I think our magazine's about 7,500 people.
Yeah.
And could go back up to 8,000 or 9,000. But what we like is the fact that people who get our magazine are reading our magazine.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the physical copy, the online copy.
Oh, yeah, we have lots of people that read the magazine either live or all those articles stay on there in perpetuity,
right.
And people are reading magazine articles from long ago.
But we'd actually prefer to give you a physical magazine because then those get left in places where other people can pick it up and read it. All right, we're going over an article called No Holiness, No Heaven, How to Know If Faith is Real or Dead by Greg Morris at the desiringgod.org website. It's from November 14th, 2020. Someone sent it in to Bob to look at. And I guess what's interesting is, again, we don't want to pick on this particular author, but the Desiring God website is a huge website. That's John Piper's ministry. And the ideas that you could see in this article are probably ideas you would hear preached or taught in churches, influenced by and pastors who go to the Desiring God website. So that's why we thought it's worthwhile to kind of go over this particular article. You can find it, look it up for yourself, because it does raise these issues that a lot of people hear and that would lead a lot of people to question salvation by grace through faith apart from works. Or it would lead them to question their assurance, you know, of
right.
Eternal salvation. So we're at the section, and it's called Along the Road with Talkative, which is a reference to John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress.
Right? And by the way, I know he's not using this illustration to say this is on par with Scripture, but it is odd that many Calvinists view Pilgrim's Progress as extremely accurate in terms of its presentation of doctrine. They almost elevate it to something like the Westminster Confession. I mean, for them, it's, okay, it's not Scripture, but it's very informative. And so what he says here is interesting, and it is coming right out of the Lordship Salvation Playbook.
Well, you know, as I'm just quickly scanning this, and I think probably we would agree with him. If I can summarize his main point, Bunyan teaches that proper orthodoxy communicated well is not a sufficient sign in itself of living faith.
We'd agree with that.
And now we would agree with that. So,
but where he's going saying, with this is way beyond that.
Yeah. So
and Bunyan, too. Bunyan also goes way beyond that.
Yeah, I don't remember Pilgrim's Progress well enough to be able to say. But so, yeah, we'd agree just because someone can, I mean, a parrot could repeat correct doctrine. That doesn't mean their faith is living in a sense.
Well, but you could believe correct doctrine. Let's say you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins.
But he's not talking about believing. He's talking about talking. That's the whole section, just talking.
Well, no, but on the next page, it's interesting. He goes beyond talking. He says, it is easy for us to imagine that God has saved us because we know right doctrine. And by know, he doesn't mean talk right doctrine. He means believe right doctrine.
I don't think so. I think we would agree with that sentence, too. I've met atheists who can tell me very clearly what the free grace position is. They'll say, this is what free grace believes. Salvation is by faith apart from works. They know the doctrine. They understand it, but they don't believe it. You know, knowing and believing, I think, are two different things, but maybe you disagree. Or maybe you disagree, that's his point.
Yeah, he does go on to mention the parrot, as you said. He's quoting C.S. Lewis about a scholar's parrot may talk Greek.
Yeah.
But when he says he knows right doctrine, it seems to me he's saying a person can believe correct doctrine but and yet not practice it. And that's his point. When he goes on, he talks about the fact that you need to have, what does he call it? Energetic striving. And then he says the shouts of their dead faith. Why does he mention faith if they don't believe? And the last paragraph, that's before talkative. You're right. That's the section before talkative. So then when he gets to talkative, maybe he's talking about something different. That's your point?
I think this section is just about people. Like he says, Christian observes, and Christian is a character in the Bunyan's book, observes what is true of many talkatives today. He talks of prayer, of repentance, of faith, and of new birth, but he knows but only to talk of them. What a fearful place to be. And I guess he's just pointing out that, listen, being able to talk about theology is not the same as believing it and is not the same as living it. And I think probably his emphasis is on living it and experiencing it.
So maybe you're right. Maybe when he says it's easier for us to imagine that God has saved us because we know right doctrine. Well, wait a minute. No, I don't think we can get to where you're going, because notice he's talking about assurance. It is easy for us to imagine that God has saved us. Isn't that talking about assurance?
To know that God has saved us. Okay.
And then he says, because we know right doctrine. It doesn't say because we talk right doctrine.
Yeah. So is there a slight difference there between knowing and talking? Yeah. But I think we would agree. Salvation isn't based on theological legalism. It's not based on knowing all this doctrine.
Well, it is knowing a doctrine.
At least one truth,
yeah.
The saving message.
Well, right? I would say two doctrines, the gift of God, which is everlasting life,
yeah.
And who it is that gives the gift of God,
yeah.
Which is Messiah, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to know those doctrines. But in terms of all the other doctrines, well, they lead us to that faith.
Like prayer, repentance, new birth.
He says those are what we need to do?
Well, no, he's saying it's a critique of people who talk about those things but don't actually know about them.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, the issue is not obviously prayer or repentance or good works. The issue is believing in Jesus.
Although even there I could see, in terms of the Christian life, someone could talk a lot about prayer, write books about prayer, never say a single prayer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, when I was at Dallas Seminary, I remember I saw an article on the library bulletin board, and it talked about the person who had a PhD in firefighting.
Yeah.
And he had taught firefighting for 40 years.
Right.
Because theoretically, you could have a PhD in theology and be an atheist. Oh, wait a minute.
Sure.
That's not theoretical at all.
No, that's probably most theology faculties, in the world today.
Well, who was it that went deaf, one of the great composers?
And Beethoven.
And he kept composing. And I think they said he had to put his hand on the piano or something to feel the vibrations or something.
Yeah, so it is possible. And I guess people need to know. I mean, I find that when I talk to people, especially in America, where there's a lot of cultural, social Christianity, people grow up with these ideas. And they think because they've heard these things that they believe them. But there's a difference between hearing something and understanding it and then believing it to be true.
Well, let me also throw this out, Sean, because I'm not quite sure what you're saying there, but let's end with this for this particular show.
Yeah.
I have certainly met people who can articulate that if a person believes in Jesus Christ for everlasting life, they have everlasting life, and yet they don't believe it. And they will tell me they don't believe it.
Yeah.
But they know my position, and they can state it back to me clearly.
Sure.
I've also, I'm convinced, have met people who are con people who come to you and articulate this message so that you will give them money. they're looking for a handout or whatever, and you
they
say,
know what to say to you to push the buttons.
Well, you
to
tell
get
them, and then they say, "Oh, wow, I believe that."
Yeah,
and they're looking for money, and I'm not convinced they believe it because it sounds an awful lot like they're going to say whatever it is you say so they can get money.
Sure. But I also think lots of the Roman Catholics and Orthodox people and Presbyterians and Anglicans, they can articulate, they can talk about many of the truths of the Christian faith, and they believe that those things are true, but they do not believe what we would take to be the saving message.
Right. Isn't it possible for someone to say, I'm convinced that John 3:16 is true. I'm convinced that whoever believes in him will never perish but has everlasting life.
Yeah.
And yet they don't believe that, and the reason they don't believe it is because they understand whoever believes in him to mean whoever turns from his sins, commits his life to Christ, and obeys him until death. And so as a result, what they believe is not what Jesus said in John 3:16, but what they've changed John 3:16 to mean.
Yeah.
Is that kind of what you're talking about, that they can affirm belief in John 3:16 or lots of things?
I wasn't thinking about that in particular. I was just thinking about there's lots of people that grow up in a Christian culture. They can talk Christian doctrine, but they don't actually believe it yet. You know, it's just part of what they grew up with. And so they can talk it, but there's no inner reality. But that beginning of the inner reality, I guess, would start with believing the saving message. But I was just thinking more just in general terms.
Oh, you were saying, they could articulate a lot of things in the Christian faith and yet not believe the promise of everlasting life.
Yeah, like my kids are going to grow up being able to talk a lot of doctrine, but will they believe in Jesus and be born again? Well, we'll see.
Right. By the way, didn't you already say one of your children may already believe that?
Well, you know, I thought so. And then follow-up questions recently make me think, okay, maybe they didn't. Maybe they were still too young to understand it. I don't know. We'll see.
And by the way, it's different ages for different kids.
Yeah.
Kids don't all come to the point where they're able to really grasp the distinction between reality and fantasy, and also in-depth spiritual truths require some level of sophistication. I mean, I am convinced the 5 or 6 year old might understand that. I've even heard some people think their 3 and 4 year olds believe it. But at some point, a child's able to believe it because Jesus said, "Permit the little children to come unto me." He spoke about the fact that if anyone causes one of these little children who believe in me to stumble. So little children sometimes believe in Jesus.
All right, guys, we'll finish off this article, I think, in the next show.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to contrast doubts with assurance, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.